The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The mother of Jesus and his brothers arrived at the house. Standing outside, they sent word to Jesus and called him. A crowd seated around him told him, "Your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you." But he said to them in reply, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking around at those seated in the circle, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of the Lord. God, and so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Tiny little thought for you here for the day. We'll continue now taking a look at what we're hearing in the book of Samuel, because I haven't talked about that for a little while. So going along the story of Samuel, David has finally become king, and he's finally taken his throne in the new capital city of Jerusalem. And what you hear in our first reading today is that the very first thing David does after he becomes king is he sends for the Ark of the Covenant. Ark of the Covenant had been dwelling in a tent in the hill country of Judea. First thing David does when he becomes king, he puts the Ark of the Covenant in the center of the capital city. Now, the Ark of the Covenant, let's just refresh our memories. Made by Moses in the desert, described in the book of Exodus. Ark of the Covenant, 2.5 cubits long, 1.5 cubits wide, 1.5 cubits high, made of acacia wood, covered in gold. And in the inside of the Ark of the Covenant were the tablets of the Ten Commandments, the manna from the desert, and the staff of Aaron. I could explain what those mean. Maybe I'll make it another homily as a separate subject. But understand that the people saw the Ark of the Covenant as being the evidence of God's dwelling among them. The Ark of the Covenant was God's presence among his people. And the very first thing David does, he places that in the center of the city. And as soon as he does so, major turning point for David and for Israel. David, the warrior king, who'd done nothing but fight, and experience such conflict. Second book of Samuel says he found rest from all his enemies round about. It's the first time in the Bible Israel has ever had rest since the day they left Egypt. And when do they find it? As soon as the dwelling place of God is placed at the center of their lives. Now keep that in mind as you hear what our Lord said here in the Gospel, right? Who are my mother? Who are my brothers? Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. Notice, he doesn't say father, because he only has one father, our heavenly father. But whoever does the will of God is brother and sister and mother to me. That would have been absolutely shocking for any Jew to hear in the first century, because family was the most sacred thing next to your tie to God. In fact, it's enshrined in the fourth commandment. You'd never hear a rabbi say that his followers are his family. So why does Jesus say this? Well, Thomas Aquinas, whose feast day we celebrate today, he says that Jesus had two families, one in heaven and one on earth. One that was in the flesh and the other that was of the spirit. And of the two, which one's stronger? Spirit is much more powerful than the flesh. Much more powerful. Your sufferings in the spirit are far, far greater than anything you can suffer physically. You ever seen anybody tear at their hair or hit their head against a wall in a time of great sadness or frustration and wondered, why would anyone do such a thing? It's almost like a diversion. By drawing attention to the sufferings of the body, it's almost like we can hope that we can take attention away from the sufferings of the soul. Same thing's true with love. The love that is of the soul is the deepest and most powerful of all. So our Lord has two families, and he says the condition for entering in to the family of God is doing the will of the Father. Why does doing the will of the Father make you a member of the family of God? Well, if you go back to the book of Genesis, you'll notice that God's will always gives life. Read through the creation account of the book of Genesis. God wills and wills and wills. And every time he does, life springs forth. And as a converse, go back to the book of Genesis. What happens when people break the will of God? That's where death comes from. Starting in the Garden of Eden, following with Cain and Abel, down through the long, sad history of mankind. And what is a family but a community bound together in life that comes from one love? That's why doing the will of God makes you the brother or sister or mother of the Lord. That's why our Lord is so emphatic about doing his will. If you love me, keep my commandments, he said. First teaching he gives us in the Sermon on the Mount, the center of the Our Father, thy will be done. The very last thing he says to his apostles on Holy Thursday night before he sent off to begin his passion and his suffering and his death. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll bear much fruit. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Live on in my love. Always doing the will of the Father. Why is that? Well, because love wills what's best for the one who's loved. And there's nothing God wants more for us than to experience this oneness with him that we have to choose for ourselves. So the very first consequence of putting the Lord at the center of your life is rest. And that's the very first consequence that happens when we put the will of the Lord at the center of our lives is rest. A tiny little thought for you today, something to think about in this feast of St. Thomas Aquinas, whose sister once came up to him and said, "What does it take, Brother Thomas, what does it take to become a saint?" And this man who had written so many volumes and so many fantastic writings and page upon page and tome upon tome, he answered her in just two words. What does it take to become a saint? He said, will it. Will it. May we redouble our efforts to do so and ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. St. Thomas Aquinas, pray for us.